I appreciate being able to come back. Everybody, I think, here knows me. How many of you have never heard me preach? It's one out of the will of God, two out of the will of God. How many of you have heard me preach? How many of you would rather not hear me this morning? Thank you.
They're getting ready to hear you even better.
Yeah, they're going to hear me better. Oh, yeah, I get this thingamajig. My wife has to dress me, too. But everybody's asking where Nanny is this morning. The older she gets, and I'm not saying she's old. Bless you, my son. Squeezing right in there, okay. The older she gets, the less she likes to travel in this weather. Huh? Well, that's all right. Wait a minute. Y'all take a break. Let me see. Now that's come loose. And that's come loose. I'll tell you what, I stayed next to the mic. Buy one that doesn't come apart all the time. All right, now let's get it right this time. Let me stuff this in for you. Stuff that on. Thank you, brother. It used to be like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He didn't need a mic. You may not need one when I get done.
Let's try this.
Hello, hello. Houston, we have a problem.
You got it?
Yeah, I think I got it. You got it. I don't know. You got it. You're the one that hooked it up. But as I was saying, my Nan doesn't like to travel too much in this kind of weather, primarily because she doesn't like my driving. She'll say, look out for that car. It's 500 miles down the road, but look out for that. Slow down, move on. And when it's raining and she can't see, forget the whole deal. Now, I plan to be back tonight if you folks have service. I live exactly 38.1 miles from here. So if I can drive back in all that driving rain tonight, I hope, if you're able, that you at least make an effort to be in the Lord's house. Folks used to say in Rocky Mountain, Brother Andrews never calls off church. Well, as soon as they call off hell, I'll call off church. I really believe that. I believe that we, you know, don't take your life in your hand tonight, but be faithful in the Lord's house. If you have your Bibles this morning, Exodus, I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to give you 3 points. On what does your hat, H-A-T, what does your hat say about you? Exodus chapter 28, I'm going to read one verse there. And that's Old Testament. If you don't know where it's at, you can find it. I think you can. Talking about studying the Bible in Sunday school, we can tell the one that said, are you sure? We won't mention him by name. But you need to do more than read your Bible. You need to study it. And one of the first things I memorized, I can't remember it now, but one of the first things I memorized in Sunday school was where the books of the Bible are. We're going to look at verse 36. If you are able, would you mind standing as we read the opening scripture? Just one verse here, then we'll go to another one, then have prayer. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it, like the engraving of a signet. Now notice all the words are capitalized. Holiness to the Lord. And then if you look over at chapter 39. Chapter 39 of the same book. And we'll look at one verse there. Chapter 39 and verse 30. The scripture said, and they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote upon it in a writing like unto the engraving of a signet, and there it is again, all capitalized, holiness to the Lord. Father, we thank you today for the rain. Lord, we are but dust and humans, and Lord, we often complain if it's too hot or it's too rainy. But Lord, we thank you that you have spared us, Lord, from what they have received in the Carolinas. We thank you, Lord, for the green grass. We thank you, Father, for Valley. We thank you for Daniel and Sherry and their many years of faithfulness of service to you here. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for loving us and given your life that we might have eternal life. Speak, Lord, now through me and hide me, Lord, behind the cross. God, may they truly see Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Now, I've read two verses. Both of those words that we mentioned are capitalized, and you'll get the meaning of this as we go along. How many of you folks wear a hat on a regular basis? One guy. I can see why you wear a hat. You knew that was coming, didn't you? But I seldom ever put one on, unless it's pouring rain or it's freezing cold outside. But basically, I got a hat at home I wear out in public. It says Chincoteague Island. Now, if you know the word Chincoteague, that's on the eastern shore where they run the wild ponies. My wife and I have vacationed up there. My oldest brother, who went on to be with the Lord in March, he didn't put but one hat on all the time. That was John Deere. If it wasn't John Deere, didn't say John Deere, he wouldn't know John Deere to do with it, okay? He wore John Deere's all the time. So I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to think about this question throughout the message, and I'll do my best to see we're on standard time, so it's 20 minutes to 11. I should be finished by 12 o'clock. You'll get that when you get home eating supper, okay? Here's the question. If every Christian was just like you, what kind of church would you have? If every Christian was just like you, what kind of church would Valley View be? The Bible says, and there's people that wear this hat that say, not today. I meet people more than I like that would say, well, I would like to trust the Lord, but not today. And they got that hat on that says, not today. I met a guy the other day. He said, I'm an atheist. I said, well, okay, you can be an atheist. But the moment you die, you're going to be a believer in God, but it's going to be too late. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 asks the question, how shall you escape the judgment of God if you neglect so great a salvation? Now, the key thing and the most important point is this point. Is do you truly know the Lord as your Savior? Now, I don't know quite what type of hat it was made to put on Aaron, the high priest, during this time here in Exodus. I don't know if it looked like the Pope's. I don't know if it was a baseball cap or a cowboy hat. But what it said in giant golden letters was holiness unto the Lord. Now, you can fool people here at church. You can probably fool some of your family into thinking that you know Christ as your Savior. Paul asked King Agrippa, and he witnessed to him back in Acts chapter 27 or 28. And Agrippa said to Paul after he finished witnessing to him, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And here's the word about almost. If you're almost saved, you're still completely lost. If you're almost saved, you're still completely lost. Our brother brought up in Sunday school, and I agree with the point, that we'll go out of here, and if we're not wearing that hat that says holiness unto the Lord in capital gold letters, people are going to figure, hey, there's somebody that goes to Valley View Baptist on a regular basis, and look at what they're doing. Look at what they're saying. Look at how they're acting. So if every Christian, so you can forget about anybody else but you, if every Christian acted just the way you do now, what kind of church would Valley View Baptist be? For some, they'd never show up to church. For some, it would be 11 o'clock. For some, it would, well, let me think about it. Let me pray about that matter and get back to you on it. And so we have to consider this morning that being almost lost is still completely, being almost saved is still completely lost. I think I shared with you back in February when I was here last when Pastor and Sherry was on a cruise that I have a great burden for my nephew. He's 44 years old, grew up in church, never married, got into dope, got into alcohol, got in with the wrong crowd, whatever you want to call it, and to this day, when I talk to my nephew in Northern Virginia, He'll say, Uncle Bobby, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Or he'll listen and he'll say, not today. And if my nephew does not trust Christ like some of you who have never trusted him, he will die and go to hell. Now, I don't want my nephew to go to hell because Jesus has paid the price, amen? He's paid all the price for all mankind. The sin that puts you in a place called hell is the sin of saying no to Jesus for the last time. So some of you look around today and you point at that person and say they're lost and they deserve to go to hell. They've heard the word of God so many times. I got great news for you. We all deserve hell. We don't get hell because of the grace and the mercy of God. And that's the only reason. So does your hat say, and then big gold printed letters, when you go out into your community today or tomorrow, does somebody know that you belong to Valley View? And do they say, I don't know. They say they're saved, but I don't see it in their life. They say they're saved, but they're always home on Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, and all the special things they do. They never really go to the house of God except at 11 o'clock, and maybe not then. So you can't wear that hat that says holiness unto the Lord because you can't fool anybody. If every Christian was exactly like you are right now, what kind of church would Valley View be today? Now, some of you, you're not going to like it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Some of you need to get right with God. Some of you need to straighten some things out in your life. And I have no idea who you are. I know most of you, and I've been here more times. I almost think I'm the associate pastor, but they don't pay me anything, so I'm not going to be the associate. And somebody's looking at your life, or you're looking at somebody in the church and saying, wait a minute, I can't do anything about that. That bitterness that's in my heart. Let me tell you, as long as you're bitter, you're never going to be better. And if you're never better, you're never going to win anybody to Jesus. We have to get that out of our heart. Hebrews tells us and Paul tells us it swells up like a canker or like a cancer, like a sore, and it affects everybody that's around you. And by the way, if you've never learned to forgive the person that's offended you, you're going to stand before God and God's going to say, I forgave you, why didn't you forgive them? You see, you don't forgive them on your own. You forgive them through the power of Jesus Christ. You forgot that He lives in you. Holiness unto the Lord. Then I want you to look at Hebrews 10. And I'm going to turn there. I'm not going to quote that. You know where I'm going, most of you. And if you don't, come follow along, you'll know where I'm at when I get there. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. The scripture says there, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now we say we believe that Jesus is coming. And He's coming soon. But we don't really believe it. When's the last time you thought about the rapture? When's the last time you and I thought about standing in the presence of God and giving an account? If you just got saved, you don't have too much to answer for. But if you've been saved over 50 years like me, you got a lot to answer for. I told the Sunday school class folks, and I've been in the ministry, I've been a deacon, I've been a pastor, I've been a Sunday school teacher. Let me tell you this. If I had to do it over again, I'd study this book more. If I had to do it over again, I'd spend more time in prayer and less time mowing the yard. I don't know who mows the yard here, but I mowed it a whole lot in Rocky Mount, Virginia, and it was 8 acres. Until I finally got smart enough to say, hey, guys, that's not what God called me to do. I'll do my share, but I'm not going to mow the grass every week. I'm not going to clean the church every week. We are a team, and the last time I spelled team, there was no I in it. We have to work together. So when he says the forsaking, this involves entire worship of God. So as a member of this church or visitor, whoever you are, and you're saved, how complete is your worship before God? You came to church, you heard the specials, you came to Sunday school, you gave the offering, you listened to the brother sing, you listened to the choir, you had fellowship, you did all the things you do every Sunday, almost by habit. When you leave, here's the success of Valley View Baptist Church. If you take, and I know your pastor just like you do, if you take what you hear from this pulpit in the Holy Word of God into the community where you live, Valley View Baptist Church will not hold the people that will come. But the problem is the church is dying, not just here, but all the churches we go to. We hear the Word of God. Sometimes it's soft, and sometimes it's extremely loud. Sometimes it's point blank. Sometimes it's all over my toes. Sometimes I can't wait for him to shut up so I can go home. But it's always the Word of God, and if you don't take what you get here outside those doors, this church will die. God did not intend for the pastor to get up and to teach and to preach and people never have a change in their life. If every Christian was just like you are right now, what kind of church would Valley View Baptist Church be? An outward indication of an inner condition. I used to go to church out of habit. I used to go to church because I had a lot of girlfriends. Now, I know that you look at me and as good looking as I am, you may not believe that, but I used to carry around a box of rings, not two or three. I had a whole box under my arm. I like you, and I'm going to give you a ring. You don't look too bad. I'm going to give you one. After a couple of years, they caught up with me. They found out I had all kinds of girlfriends, and the girls did not like that. Fortunately, I was able to outrun them all. And then I got serious about God. 3 years after I got saved, I started teaching a class of second grade boys, 15 years old. Now, either the preacher didn't have anybody else, or I was at the bottom of the bucket and that's all he could get. But he chose me. And I started teaching Sunday school, and I read in the scripture where God is going to hold the teacher more accountable than the listener. This brother that taught our class this morning and whoever teaches all the other classes, they're going to be held in account to God how they taught the Word of God. If this brother, and I want to call your name, but Your Highness, I guess. You know. Brian. 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 Okay. Start with a B. Brian. Now, there's two things good about Brian. Number one, he's saved. Amen. Number two, he married one of the prettiest girls in Buchanan. A little weak there, but I tried, Daniel. I really did try. But if all he did was open his Bible, read a couple of verses, read a lesson that was already printed out and did no praying and no searching and no looking to God and got up and taught us this morning, he's accountable to God. Just as we're accountable for what we heard him teach. So some of you today are just like this. You're faithful about being unfaithful. Boy, if anybody could be any more unfaithful to God, it's you. They died, God. Hurts, doesn't it? And I'm not preaching it to hurt you. I'm preaching it to get you to see that you need to change the way you're living, some of you. You need to start saying, wait a minute, worship is entire. But people said, this is what they say to Pastor Boone. Don't count on me. I don't care what you say, how you preach. I'm never coming except 11 o'clock. Me, teach a Sunday school class? Are you out of your cotton picking mind? Me, give money? Somebody sitting in my seat, and I only had it happen to me one time, and I was visiting a church, and a lady that was 199 years old. I was sitting there with my wife, and she came up, and she said, that seat belongs to me and my husband. Get up and move. I never met a fool in my life. I got up and moved. It's about yay big and about yay wide. Rather than confront the lady, that's her seat. But that's the way some people are. Don't count on me. Here's my hat. See this hat? It doesn't say holiness unto the Lord. It says, you can't count on me to do nothing, Pastor. But oh, once in a while I might. But don't count on me on a regular basis. And we got a lot of don't count on me Christians in God's churches. How do I know that? Because I go to the churches, I get to know the people, I make friends with them, and I see what's coming down the pike. We want to know, for example, and I was telling Brother Mikey this morning, you know, your attendance is down. I think I told Pastor Boone when they finished building this, he said, just as soon as we get this built, we're going to build another one. And I said, Daniel, don't be surprised after you get this built if attendance goes this way. But you can only go so far down, then you start back up again. Most churches don't do this. Some churches are always doing this. Most churches do this. Don't give up on God. You're looking around and you're saying, where's so-and-so that used to be here all the time? Go find out. I guarantee you they will not blame God. They will either blame the pastor, the pastor's wife, the pastor's family, or some backslidden deacon. But they'll never blame themselves. What you have, few churches have. And I can say that because I go into these churches and I see it. Faithful about being unfaithful. Don't count on me. I think it was your pastor. It might have been another one. I don't know so many of them. Said they don't have any deacons. I said, why don't you have any deacons? They said, well, number one, I can run the church. Well, I didn't think God called the pastor to run the church. He called the pastor to pastor the church. To feed the sheep. To take care of the people of God. But your hat this morning says, no way under the sun. Don't count on me. If every Christian was exactly the way you are, what kind of church would Valley View Baptist be? See, you have to answer the question personally in your mind. Would you be excited and on fire for God? Are you tired of Pastor Boone? Well, you know, man, you know, we'd probably grow if we got a new pastor. He might disagree with it. Now, don't you tell him I was trying to get rid of him. That's not what I'm saying, all right? Sherry, you getting this clear so you can interpret it? She's the best interpreter when it comes to a husband when he's away. Some of you got a real problem. You need to get that hat off your head. You go out in the community, double-tongued, double-faced. Holiness unto the Lord. Everybody knows I'm saved. Everybody knows I go to Valley View. Everybody knows I'm on fire for God. And you wouldn't throw a bucket of water on anybody that was burning. I know that's difficult. Trust me. It was not only hard to prepare, it's hard to preach, and it's hard to receive. But it's the Word of God. Got to give you what the Lord said. So are you faithful in being unfaithful? Do you have that second hat that says, don't count on me? Pastor had a business meeting a few weeks ago and said, we're going to have to stop running the buses. And we bring a lot of inner city kids in out of Roanoke. And we have to put one here and one over here and one back here and one over there. And some of the older folks will go out and they're fussing about these kids that won't behave. They have no discipline at home. They have no love at home. The only love they see is in these people. He says he's going to have to cancel the bus runs. What are you doing that for, preacher? Did you take this before the deacons? He said, I'm the pastor. This is an executive decision. In other words, I make it without anybody asking. He said, I can't get nobody to drive. I got two that drive that bus week after month after year. And they're exhausted. And you men will not go get your CDL, I think that's what they call it, a chauffeur's license, so that you can help out on the bus. Now, I got some news for you. If they keep acting that way, we're not going to have a bus ministry. If you keep acting the way you're acting, you're not going to have the ministry you'd like to see here. I told our song leader this morning, I think it was the song leader, it might have been Brother Brian. But on March the 18th, I went back to Lighthouse Baptist. You all know the story. I started it, was there all those years. For 11 years, they didn't call me back. Never invited me back for nothing. And they called me last January and said, we want you to come and do the 40th anniversary. And the church was packed. It runs about this many, but it was packed. Now, I'd like to think that they all showed up to hear me. But a few of them said this to their pastor, who has since resigned and took another church. If he comes, I'm leaving. That's the hat some of you got on. If so-and-so ever comes back to this church, nah, I'm going to let them have it. Well, they near split the church and divided it. When is the last time you prayed for your enemy called the child of God and they're not supposed to be your enemy, although they act like it? Are you faithful about being unfaithful to God? Then I want to take you lastly to a very interesting verse, the last book in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Malachi. As the old Italian preacher said, turn to Malachi. That's how he pronounced it. Last one in the Bible. And I'm going to give you an interesting and true illustration in just a moment. But some of you, you don't have the hat of salvation on. Some of you have the hat that says, you can't count on me. No siree. I'm not doing that. Or I've heard this over the years. I've done my part. You've done your part when you're dead and they put you in a grave. How many people do you know that would give anything to be here today? But the nursing home was sickness or old age or crippling arthritis. It's all caught up with it. But Malachi 3, and you know where I'm going, in verse 10, bring ye all. Didn't say some, but it said bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Most independents believe that to be the house of God. That there may be meat in mine house. And I want you to underline this if you mark your Bibles. And prove me. Underline those words, prove me. Now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. It is the only place in the Bible, that God says, prove me. It's nowhere else. It's very interesting. They took a survey. I found this, or somebody found it on the internet and gave it to me because I don't know how to run all that. But if you took all the Catholics and all the Protestants, which would include us Baptists, if you took them all in the world, according to their tax statements, that group of people, which makes up about 10% of the world, make $2 trillion, that's with a T, $2 trillion a year. If they all tithed, that would be $200 billion, with a B, to the kingdom of God. You want to know why you don't give? You know why your head says, no, it's my money. I work for it, I earn it, it's mine. Because you don't really believe that God will give it back. Now, that's a lie from the devil because God just said, prove me. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. How many of you ladies can or have canned in the past? Can, you know, put up food for the winter. Quite a few of you. How many of you used the ball jar, B-A-L-L? You've used the ball jar. Have any of you ever used Kerr, K-E-R-R, 1, 2, 3, 4, oh, a bunch of you have. Let me give you this story about Mr. Kerr. He built a factory in San Francisco in the late 1890s. And God dealt with him about his giving. So he said, God, if you will provide, I will do this. And God started providing for Mr. Kerr. His descendants still live today. Well, in 1906, does somebody know what happened in San Francisco? Earthquake. Devastating earthquake. Literally, nearly wiped the city out. Kerr was in Chicago with some of his friends at a business meeting. And they said, "Oh, Mr. Kerr, you're ruined." And he shouted back, "Not if God is a liar. I'm not ruined." This is true. When Kerr and his friends got back to San Francisco, of course, they immediately went, and he was near the epicenter of where the quake was. And Kerr and his friends noticed that all the way around the factory, the grass had burnt right up to the fence. On the other side of the fence, it was still green grass. His business partners are scratching their head. "Well, it's no use to go in. I mean, glass jars, quart jars, gallon, Kerr. I mean, today we still use it." When he went inside the factory, not one propane tank had exploded. Not one in the great earthquake of San Francisco 1906. You want to know what else was a miracle? Not one jar was broke in that earthquake. Not one. Amen. I'd say that's a pretty powerful God. Amen?
Amen?
But Kerr made a promise. "God, if you will take care of this, everything else goes to you." And today, the Kerr can factory that makes those jars in San Francisco pays some of the outstanding best benefits of anybody in the country to their employees. See, Kerr believed God. He said, "I'll take care of it, Lord. I'll make a commitment to you." Now, when we was up at Brother Neil's, Sherry and us, some of the other pastors, Labor Day, and Neil was having a picnic along the river. And so we went up and we're sitting there. And you know, if you've been around Daniel Boone long enough, you're either crazy or want to kill him. And he loves to fret other people. So he started fretting me. He said, "Brother Andrews, you're going to be there on the 16th. "Yes, sir, I'm going to be there. Lord willing, the creek don't rise, and the creek ain't got up quite yet." He said, "Well, can't give you very much when you come." I said, "That's not a surprise." And I said, and Mike Best spoke up and said, Brother Boone, let me remind you what Preacher Andrews does with that money. And I'm telling you this because what God has done in 4 years in my life is unbelievable. I now make more money than I've made my whole life. And I don't work. You want the secret? See me after church. My wife and I made a commitment to God. "God, everything we make, everything the churches give me, sometimes it's 50, sometimes it's 100, sometimes it's 500, not too often, but sometimes $500 for one day work. Everything, God, except our tithe. I'll take my tithe out and I'll take what's left and I'll put it over in this special account. And Lord, we'll use that for the needy." Now, don't line up after church telling me you're needy, okay? And that account has never been empty. Just when I get down and say, "Lord, I need a few churches to preach at, need to get the account built up," boom, somebody call. So whatever you give today goes to people who have a need. It might be a missionary. It might be a college student. It might be, I gave $100 to a man the other day. I don't see how he buys crackers. Poor. This is a child of God. Dirt poor. Every time I go into his house to encourage him, both feet are gone because of diabetes. His wife just went to a nursing home, got cancer on both sides. And every time you meet the Hurts, H-U-R-T, they just praising God. And I'll be driving out there and the Lord say, "You know that $100 you got over there in that amen corner? Now, if you don't know what an amen corner is, let me show you. For us fellas, you open the wallet. That's not it. It's a few dollars there. You go over here, and you got a little bit tucked in here. So you're not tempted to spend it when it's in the amen corner. And then when somebody has a need, you can give it to them and say, amen." So what you give doesn't go to Bob Andrews. It goes to help the needy. Because we promise the Lord, whatever you do, in our late life, I'm 68, give or take a few days. My wife is, and she ain't here, so I can say this, and if you tell her I said it, I'll deny it. My wife's 71. Not one need has God failed to supply in the 48 years we've been married. Not one. You want another blessing? We have to go to God sometimes and say, Lord, stop. Shut the windows of heaven. We don't have enough room for all this, God. When's the last time you said, Lord, will you please quit blessing me? Most of them say, Lord, it's been a long time since I've been blessed. Especially when it comes to money. He said, prove me. Any church that struggles financially basically is this reason. First of all, the people don't give. If they do give, they don't have any kind of missions program. If you don't have any kind of mission program, shut the door and go home. Missions is the very heartbeat of God. I've seen it over the years. Prove me. Put me to the test, or a word that you can understand. Put me to the challenge. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you won't have enough room to receive it. The reason we don't give, and we don't like to wear that hat, but we do. Thief. Stole from God today. How would you like to have God put a hat on your head and you go around for a week and the hat says, stole from God this week? Fortunately, God's not going to do that. Does your hat say, holiness unto the Lord? Big gold letters. And you're not ashamed of it. You can count on me. I know the Lord is my Savior. I'm excited. How can you get unexcited about the one who died for you? You take your eyes off him, you lose sight of your first love. My wife and I are still very much in love because we work at it. We tell each other that. We do things for each other. We show each other. We want people to know. And they see that. Finally, as I close, if everybody was just like you, what kind of church would you have? You see, folks, you really can't blame those who are not here because they're not hearing this. You can't point your finger at somebody else. I'm glad I'm like Sherry Boone. Not because she's married to a pastor, but I could see the love of God in this lady's life. I once asked Pastor Boone, I said, how did you marry such a humble woman? You know what he said? I trained her. I've been around him long enough to know I ain't going to swallow that worm at all, no. She has to take a lot you don't have to take. She has to listen when you lambast a pastor because you didn't like what he said. Or he didn't come and visit you. You hadn't been in church in a year, but he didn't come and visit you. Didn't even know you're sick. I'm amazed that people think we can read their minds. Does your hat say, holiness unto the Lord? Does your hat say, yes, I'm saved? Does your hat say, yes, you can count on me to do the work of God? Does your hat say, pour me out a blessing. I mean, it's God's. It belongs to him. And I'm not going to rob the Lord in these late days that we live in because millions and millions are waiting for a missionary to come and tell him. And I said in closing, I'll close. The average missionary takes 3 years to get through their training. 5 if they're in jungle training. The average missionary in the Independent Baptist Church takes 5 more years to raise their support. 5 years! For the people of God to wake up so that I can get to the field and tell that tribe or that nation or that individual about the Lord. We should hang our heads today and say, God, I sure didn't miss the boat. Father, I understand, Lord, that this has been very difficult. To prepare and to preach. And I reckon, Lord, it's been difficult for some of them to accept it, receive it. but it's your word. And Lord, I promised anywhere, any place, any time, a long time ago. So I'm glad, Lord, I gave them what you said. You first gave it to me and dealt with my own heart. Now I've given it to them to deal with their hearts. Lord, do they have that hat on that says holiness unto the Lord in big gold letters? Father, are they proving you today? Do they know you? Or are they making excuses why they can't serve you? Why they can't be in church on a regular basis? Why they can't win the lost? All the reasons and excuses. What kind of hat do they have? And Lord, if each one of them was exactly like them, what kind of church would this be? I pray you'll continue to deal with the hearts as the song leader comes, Lord, and we have the invitation. May they be willing to come. And Lord, not just to kneel,